Chapter 41. Nantucket Shoals. The cabin cruiser that had been circling the salvage boat pulled alongside within hailing distance and cut its engine to an idle. The white, red, and green tricolor of Italy fluttered on the signal mast under the American flag. The slim, silver-haired figure of Angelo Donatelli stepped out of the pilot house and waved.
"Hallo, Mr. Austin. I've come on a rescue mission. I understand you are running out of grappa. May we make a delivery?"
"Hello, Mr. Donatelli," Austin yelled back. "Thank you for the resupply. Until now, we've had to drink battery acid."
Captain McGinty cupped his hands around his mouth, an entirely unnecessary gesture because his normal voice was a bellow.
"Skipper thanks you, too, and invites you to come aboard on your mission of mercy."
Donatelli saluted in acknowledgment and went back into the pilot house. The anchor dropped into the water with a rattle and a splash, and the engine died. Donatelli and his cousin Antonio stepped into an outboard launch the yacht had been towing, buzzed the short distance to the salvage ship, and climbed aboard. Donatelli handed the captain a bottle of the fiery Italian liquor.
"With my compliments," he said, then turned to Austin and swept his hand toward the cabin cruiser. "How do you like my blue beauty, Mr. Austin?"
Donatelli's continued use of the honorific was old-world habit or simply the practiced good manners of a restaurateur used to dealing with a high-class clientele, Austin figured. It was a refreshing change from the phony first name, "Hi, my name is Bud," informality that was one of Austin's favorite gripes. Austin's eyes swept the cruiser stem to stern and took in its navy hull and creamy superstructure, as if he were studying the curves of a lovely woman.
"She's got classically beautiful lines," he said. "How does she handle?"
"Like a dream. I fell in love the first time I saw her abandoned in a boatyard in Bristol, Rhode Island. I spent thousands restoring her. She's 45 feet, but the sweep of her bow makes her look even longer. A very stable boat, perfect for taking the grandchildren out."
He laughed.
"And a way to escape the family when I need peace and quiet. My clever accountant has made the boat part of the business, so I have to catch a fish now and again for the restaurants."
He paused and looked misty-eyed at the sea, where a flock of gulls speckled the dark water like snowflakes. "So this is where it happened." Austin pointed to the red plastic bubble bobbing in the slight chop. "The top of the ship lies 30 fathoms under that marker. We're directly over her." There was no need to use the Doria's name. They both knew what vessel he was talking about.
"I have cruised the waters all around the island," Donatelli said, "but I have never, never been to this spot."
He chuckled softly.
"We Sicilians are superstitious people who believe in ghosts."
"All the more reason to thank you for helping with this project." Donatelli affixed Austin with piercing, deep-set eyes.
"I wouldn't have missed this for the world. Where do we start?"
"We've got a set of plans in the captain's cabin."
"Bene. Come, Antonio," he said to his cousin, who'd been imitating a fireplug. "Let us see what we can do for these gentlemen."
Captain McGinty unrolled a sheet of heavy white paper onto a table in his cabin. The paper was labeled Italian Line Plano delle Sistemazioni Passeggeri, or Plan of Passenger Accommodation. At the top was a photo of the liner cutting its way through the waves in better days. Below the photo were diagrams of 9 decks. Donatelli tapped the area that showed the Belvedere lounge at the front of the boat deck.
"I was working here when the Stockholm hit us. Boom! I landed on the floor."
His finger moved to the promenade deck.
"All the passengers are here waiting for rescue. A big mess," he said, shaking his head in disgust. "Mr. Carey finds me, and we go down to their cabin, here, on the starboard side of the upper deck. Poor Mrs. Carey is trapped. Off I go like a scared rabbit to find a carjack. Down here."
His finger retraced his route of that night.
past the shops on the foyer deck, but the way is blocked, so I go way back here to the stern, then down to A deck.
Donatelli halted his straightforward account, remembering the terror that gripped him as he descended into the dark bowels of the sinking ship.
"Excuse me," he apologized, a catch in his voice. "Even now, after all these years."
He took a deep breath and let it out.
"That night, I found out what Dante went through in his descent to Hades."
He puffed his cheeks and continued. "So finally I make it to B deck, where the garage is. Everyone knows the rest of the story?" The others, gathered around the table, nodded.
"Good," Donatelli said with obvious relief.
Although the cabin was cool, his brow glistened with perspiration, and a vein throbbed on the side of his head.
"Could you tell us exactly where in the garage you saw the armored truck?" Austin said.
"Sure, it was up here in this corner."
He borrowed a pencil and made an X. "I heard there were 9 cars in the garage, including the fancy one the Italians built for Chrysler." He compressed his lips in a tight smile.
"I never found the jack I was looking for."
"Our plan is to go in through the garage doors," Austin explained. Donatelli nodded. "The cars could drive right into the garage from the pier. I think it's a good plan, but I know little of these things," he said with a shrug. Captain McGinty was less equivocal. A few minutes earlier, he'd been diverted by a call on the ship's phone. Now he was back at the table, shaking his head.
"Hope you boys aren't going on a fool's errand. I see a big problem staring me in the face."
"That may be an understatement. I'd be surprised if the problems weren't jumping up and down on our backs like an 800-pound gorilla," Austin said.
"This one is a pisser. I know guys who've gotten into that hold, coming down through the decks."
He indicated the starboard wall of the garage.
"Everything in that space, cars, trucks, cargo, would have fallen onto this side that's lying in the bottom sand. Your armored truck could be buried under tons of junk. Guys who've been in that hold saw that future car Chrysler was shipping over, but they couldn't get at it because the space is full of twisted beams and busted bulkheads. You go in with gym suits, like you're planning, there's the danger you could get caught up."
Austin was well aware this could be one of the toughest assignments in his varied career. More difficult in its own way than raising that Iranian container ship or the Russian sub.
"Thanks for the warning, Captain. My idea is to approach this as if we were looking for a target where the bottom's been littered with wrecks. Like the East River, for example. You may be right that the job is impossible, but I think it's worth taking a look."
He grinned.
"Maybe we'll even find Mr. Donatelli's car, Jack."
McGinty let out a whooping laugh. "Well, if it's a fool's errand, you're my kind of fool. What say we offer a toast to our success?"
Donatelli opened the grappa and poured drinks all around, using a waiter's flourish that hadn't deserted him.
"By the way, that was the boys down below calling from the bell," McGinty said. "They've just about cut through the hull. I told them to get things ready for tomorrow, then take a rest. You'd be down first thing in the morning to do the job."
Austin raised his glass. "Here's to lost causes and impossible missions." The quiet laughter was cut short as Donatelli solemnly raised his glass high.
"And here's to the Andrea Doria and the souls of all those who have died on her."
When they tossed their drinks down, it was done in silence.